give you my conclusions first. Oftentimes, the best method for giving a lecture or a speech of any kind is to tell the people what you're going to tell them, then you tell them, and then you tell them what you told them. The old secret trick to giving a good, effective, powerful, and memorable lecture, and especially a lecture that the people will read. You tell them what you're going to tell them, and then you tell them, and then you tell them what you told them. Well, I'm going to begin today not with my 3 points, but with my 3 conclusions. So you'll know where I'm going. Firstly, Jonah is a lying, fleeing, whining wimp who is more afraid of failure than of seeing God's glory being performed. Secondly, God will go to great lengths to get our attention, even to the point of some pretty big fish stories. And thirdly, when God calls, do what he says, unless, of course, you enjoy wiping fish guts out of your hair. Now, I can go home, right? No. We got to tell you how we got here, especially that first one. Jonah is a lying, fleeing, whining wimp who is more afraid of failure than of seeing God's glory being performed. Now, before I jump into this, I guess I should preface this by saying, so are we. We are lying, fleeing, whining wimps too. We learn a whole lot about ourselves by taking a look at Jonah today. We learn a whole lot about ourselves and about our own failings and about our own faults by taking a look at Jonah today. Well, we all know the story of Jonah. It's one of those stories I remember hearing as a child in vacation Bible school and Sunday school classes, the story of Jonah and the whale. Grew up and discovered it didn't mean whale, they meant big fish, but that's beside the point. Story about Jonah's simple one. Jonah was called by God to go and preach a message to Nineveh, a message of repentance. He was told to go and to preach to them and to tell them that God expects them to repent of their sin, to repent of their evil ways, and to turn to him, and God would forgive, but otherwise God's going to blow them away. And what does Jonah do? Does he say, yes, sir, and go to Nineveh? No. The word of the Lord comes to Jonah, and the instant the word of the Lord is proclaimed, he's off, fleeing, trying to avoid, trying to run away from God's call on his life, trying to run away from God's appointment in his life, God's calling to proclaim this message. He's running away from God's call. He gets on a ship and goes out into the Mediterranean Sea. And while he's at sea, God's not going to let him get away. Just like you and me, God doesn't let us get away. God's not going to let him get away. God sends a storm. And the ship is a rocking at sea. And everybody on board is worried except Jonah. He's down in the bowels of the ship sleeping. He knows what's wrong. He knows that the ship is in the midst of the storm, in the sea, being tossed to and fro, because he is running away from God. The people come to him and they say, what have you done? And he says, I serve the Lord of the world, the one who made the land and the sea. And I'm running from him. Now, first of all, think about that for a moment. That's dumb. Running from the one who made it all? Impossible. The guys on the ship knew it was impossible. They tried to not throw him overboard by throwing everything else overboard, the light in the ship, try to save their lives. And they came to him and said, please tell us what we can do. We don't want to have your blood on our hands. But Jonah had already told them, toss me into the sea and the storm will quiet. And so they did. And a great fish comes along and swallows him up, saves his life in the process, and the sea quieted down. And then he remained in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. God, you know, you learn a lot of things about God stuck in the belly of a fish. You learn that it doesn't do any good to run away from the creator of all that is. You learn that when God tells you to do something, you do it. And when he recognized his situation and when he repented, that fish sort of puked him up on the shore. The last time I preached this, which was 3 years ago, I made a wonderful sound and went, bleh! But what I didn't tell you was that fish swallowed him in the Mediterranean Sea. There was no Suez Canal at the time. And somehow it barfed him up on the shores near Nineveh. Nineveh is on the Euphrates River. Now, that's about a 1,800-mile suborbital puke from the Mediterranean Sea, like a ballistic missile, a scud puke. Whoosh. I don't know how God did it. It's just an interesting image. Anyway. That'll get to you eventually. You're going to go, how in the world did Jonah get swallowed in the Mediterranean and end up near Nineveh? But it happened. Anyway, those things just kind of come to me when I read the Bible. Anyway, so that's one really big fish story, by the way. And if that hasn't gotten your attention yet, point two, if that hasn't gotten your attention yet, I don't know what will. Thank you. So, God's word comes to Jonah again. A second time. I mean, it's a good thing that God is patient, friends. Jonah gets the word, he runs away, gets swallowed by a fish, gets puked up on the shore, and God gives him the word again. That tells you that if you mess up and get puke all over you, God will still talk to you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you. Guess what? We've all messed up. We've all gotten spiritual, metaphorical fish guts on us, and yet God will talk to us again and again and again in Holy Scripture. Amen. Praise God indeed. All right. What'd God say? The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Get up. Go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you. No running away. No getting on boats and going out into the Mediterranean Sea. No fish this time. It says, so Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. He finally learned something. He finally learned that when God says it, you do it. Well, kinda. You see, you would think that being swallowed by a fish, I mean, Jonah must be kind of slow. Being swallowed by the fish would get my attention, and I would say, yes, sir, and I'd go and I'd do it. And whatever God did, I would be pleased with. After all, God's in charge. He proved that with the fish. But not Jonah. He goes there. The city is big enough that it would take 3 days to walk across it. And he walks one-third of the way into the city preaching repentance. Now, what does repentance mean? It means to... the word pent in Middle English means to go. I'm penting towards the Christian flag over there. I am repenting now towards Rose. I have gone one way, turned around and gone the exact opposite way back. To repent means to reverse your course of action and to do the opposite. And if you are sinning, the way to reverse the course of action is to turn around and not sin. To turn around and exercise faith in God. Trust God. Lay your life in God's hands. Do what God says. That's what happened to Jonah. He was penting away from God's will, got swallowed up by a fish, he repented, and now he's doing God's will. He goes to Nineveh. He preaches a message of repentance, or God's going to smite you. And like most of us, Jonah wants to see some smiting. Man, he's been through an awful lot. He ran away. Well, he's kind of shoving that aside. Gets swallowed by a fish. Gets convinced to do what God called him to do. He does it. And now he wants to see some action. He wants to see the bad ones get their comeuppance. He wants to see some blood and some gore, some death and destruction, some fire and brimstone on those evil, rotten sinners in Nineveh. He wants to see justice done. He ain't interested in grace. He got his. He doesn't want them to get theirs. He knows they're a bunch of sinners, and he wants to see them get smited. And he's preaching repentance, and he's preaching the message, the word of the Lord, what God has told him to proclaim, and he does it for just one third of the way across the city, yet all the people hear, and lo and behold, they repent. They didn't need to get swallowed by a fish. They didn't need to get caught and tossed at sea on a ship and thrown overboard into the ocean. They didn't have to get swallowed up into a fish and have to, you know, slime around in some icky, stinky fish gut. You ever cleaned a fish? Some of the most gross stuff comes out of fish stomach. They didn't have to go through that. They didn't get to have to get suborbital puked all the way to Nineveh. They repented. They heard one third of the trip message. And the whole city repents, so much so that the king of Nineveh, a powerful emperor, friends, he hears, and they take off their clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes, and they repent of their sin. What does it say here in Jonah chapter 3? Let's actually read a bit of God's word tonight, today, this morning. What is it? What time is it? It's morning. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, no human being or animal, no herd or flock, shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. Human beings and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to God. All shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may relent. He may turn from his fierce anger so that we do not perish. I mean, these are pagans, friends. These people are pagans. They worship Marduk and Tiamat. They worship the gods of the ancient Babylonians. They worship idols. They are idolaters. They hear the message from Jonah. Just one third of it. One third of his trip across the city. And the whole city repents. And the king sends out a decree. Not just people, but the animals too are to repent. Can you imagine putting sackcloth and ashes on Lily and getting her not to drink, Peggy? Nuh-uh. Well, that's what they were supposed to do. And they did. And notice what he says. Who knows? Maybe God will relent and not do what he said he's going to do. Now, Jonah, having experienced God's grace, should have been happy at this response. Should have been pleased that the people had repented. Should have been joyously praising God. They heard my sermon and repented. Boy, I would love it if more of my sermons had that effect. Thank you. One day I was preaching. This was at Cockrell Hill in Oak Cliff about 10 years ago. And I was in the middle of my sermon, and I was preaching away, preaching up a storm, as they say. And I looked out in the congregation, and I saw, had my glasses on, and I saw four or five of them were asleep. Man, I know I'm boring at times, but lawsy mercy. So anyway, I walked over to where the piano was. And I looked at them, and the others who were awake were wondering, what in the world is he doing? And I went, and it woke them up. And then I walked out into the congregation. And I said, wouldn't it be wonderful if we too would be awakened by God's word? If we too would be awakened like the people of Nineveh and repented of their sin, of the evil in their hand. Repented, turned around and went the other way. I don't think it really woke them up. Does it wake up us up, friends? Does it wake us up? We can try running away. We'll just get swallowed by a fish. We can try fleeing. God will chase us down. He won't let us get away. He loves us too much. No one ever cared for us like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else can take the sin and darkness from me. No one else cares for us like Jesus. The people of Nineveh didn't have the story of Jesus. They didn't have the message of the cross. They didn't have the message of the resurrection. They didn't have the gospel message. All they had was the call, repent. They didn't have a three-day sojourn in a fish. All they heard was repent. And they repented. That's God's grace in action, friends. They repented. And Jonah, who should have been rejoicing, Jonah, who should have been happy, glorifying God that his message, the word that the Lord had given him, and his obedience finally, after being in a fish for 3 days, finally had paid off, and he had seen the working of God's mighty hand in the repentance of the city. He should have been happy. But he wasn't. He wasn't at all happy that God relented. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God relented about the calamity that He had said He would bring upon them, and He did not do it. God, I mean, sometimes you hear people say, the God of the Old Testament is a God of justice and wrath, and the God of the New Testament is a God of love and forgiveness. You haven't read the same Bible I've read, friends. The God of the Old Testament's also a God of love and grace and forgiveness. A God of the New Testament. Yes, grace is the prime message, but so is justice. We see here the people of Nineveh, confronted with the word of the Lord, repented, and God showered grace upon them. Not brimstone, not fire, but grace. He forgave them. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, and now he didn't pray to the Lord, friends. He shouted at the Lord. He yelled at the Lord. He did what we do when we get kind of mad at God and get our guts about us and say, God, why did you do this? As I said, he wanted to see them get theirs. He wanted to see them get smited. O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. Oh, baloney, Jonah. Absolute poppycock. He's lying through his teeth. That's not the reason why he ran away. There's nothing in chapter 1 that says that he knew that God was going to forgive them, so that's why he ran away. And even if that's the case, why run away? I'm sorry, Jonah. Just like us, you, Jonah, are just vomiting at the mouth nonsense. You're trying to cover up. It's like, you ever watch a cat do its mess on the carpet and then try to cover it with the paw, and there's nothing there, there's certainly no litter there to cover the mess, and they think they've got it covered even though all they've done is just run their paws over the carpet in front of it. That's what Jonah's doing. God, that's why I ran away from you to begin with, because I knew you were going to do this. Nonsense. There's nothing in chapter 1 to point that direction. He ran away because he didn't want to do it. He didn't think he'd have any effect. In fact, quite the opposite. He feared he'd get killed doing it. Sometimes you got to read between the lines and see what's really being said by some of these lying, fleeing, whining wimps like Jonah. All right. Oh Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? No. That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning. No. If I'd been God, I would have splatted him right then and there. Thank God I'm not God. God has more grace than I do. God has more grace than us. That does deserve an amen. Amen. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. Well, if you had known that, Jonah, why did you tell the guys on the ship that the only way to keep God from killing them was to throw you overboard? He just betrayed himself as a liar right there in the Bible. No. Sorry, Jonah. You're right. God is all these things. But you didn't believe it on the boat. And if you really believe this, you should have come to Nineveh on the first call, proclaim the message so you could see these people repent, respond to the message, repent, and be saved. No, you're just trying to find yourself an excuse. You're just trying to cover up your bad little spot on the ground, on the carpet, like a cat with no litter around. You're just trying to cover up for what you did. And now you're mad because you went through that fish, and now you want to see them get theirs. And they're not going to get it. You know what? Jonah's a whole lot like all of us. We have been forgiven absolutely everything. Every single sin, Billy, that you have ever committed in your life, that you will commit today, and that you will commit for every day that you live until Jesus comes or takes you home, everything you've done is on that cross over almost 2,000 years ago. Everything. Every sin that you committed, Jim, Rose, Tim, Carol, Weldon, everything. There's not a single sin that you have committed that isn't on that cross. The problem is we're continually ripping them off and trying to wear them again when they're on Jesus, covered by his blood on that cross. There's not a single sin that we have committed that grace can't cover. The only reason why we are sometimes not forgiven is because we are unrepentant. We refuse to accept the gift. And indeed, once receiving, we frequently try to take it back and hold our sins close to us and keep committing them. My friends, we are so much like Jonah, it's scary. We have been forgiven absolutely everything, and yet we want to see them dirty, rotten sinners get theirs. Nuh-uh. We should be desirous that all would hear the gospel, receive God's grace, and be forgiven and enter into eternity. We should desire that all would hear the gospel and receive God's grace and be forgiven and enter into eternity. That should be our desire. That none be smited. That none be wiped out. That none be destroyed. That none be thrown into the lake of fire. That none go to hell. We should indeed be about proclaiming that message. The message of the cross. The message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The message that our God is gracious and loving, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. We should be about proclaiming that message so that more might hear, receive, repent, and respond in faith to the gospel message. We shouldn't be like Jonah, wanting to see the city get smited. Sadly, most of us, myself included, are a whole lot more like Jonah than we want to admit. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Oh, woe is me. I didn't get to see these people get smited, so just kill me. How dumb is that? That is just absolutely stupid, Jonah. You know what? If it were possible, I'd say he's tempting God right there. And if I were God, no, thank God I'm not. Okay. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Oh. And the Lord said, thank God we have a Lord like this. As I'd be ready to smite him right there. The Lord said, here's what I wish the Lord had said. And the Lord said, okay, since you want to die, you little sneaking little rat, you, I'm going to put you back in that fish. See how you like that. No. Thank God we have a loving God. His question is pastoral and loving. And the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city, and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. It's like he got out his popcorn and his beer, and he sat down, and he's just going to sit there and watch. Okay, let's see the show, God. I want to see the show. Smite him. Oh, boy. The Lord appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. Oh, man. Whew. Hot day. Thank you, God, for the bush. You know, pull me another one, sit here, eat my popcorn, and watch you smite the city. God, thank you for your grace after whining and complaining. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Man, he's like a broken record, isn't he? He's like a broken record. "I'd rather be dead. You gave me this bush, nice, shielded me from the sun. Now you took it away, and you brought a sultry east wind, and the sun's beating down on my head. I wish I were dead. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I guess I'll go eat worms. Big, fat, juicy worms." Sorry, Jonah, I don't buy it. But when the dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared, and it wasn't just that the worm withered up the bush, then God prepared a sultry east wind. Oh, God's having some fun. God prepared a sultry east wind. Now he's doing what I would have done. God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He's whining again, friends. Old wimpy Jonah. He said, "It is better for me to die than to live." I mean, you've been through the belly of a fish. Well, first of all, you've been at sea, in a bad storm at sea. The guys threw you overboard to save their skins. You got sucked in by a fish. You spent 3 days and three nights in a fish. And now you're whining about this. I'm sorry, but God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?" "Yes, angry enough to die." At least he was honest. I'll give him marks for that. He's honest with God. So many of us will weasel around and pretend as though we're not mad. When we're honest, we're going to do what Jonah did right here. "Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?" Now, besides the fact that it wasn't right for him, he said, "Yes, angry enough to die." The Lord said, "You are concerned about the bush, for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many pussycats?" Animals, it says here. Hayam, beasties. "Shouldn't I be concerned about a city like Nineveh with 120,000 people and animals in it who have repented, who have put on sackcloth and ashes, who have heard the message that I gave you to give to them, and you went in, you went a third of the way through the city, proclaiming repentance, telling them what they were supposed to do. They did it. Shouldn't I be concerned about them?" Sorry, Jonah. You are a lying, fleeing, whining wimp. And he is a mirror for each of us. We whine. We try to run away from God. We think, why aren't things going the way that I believe they ought to go? Why aren't things going any better? Why is it that there is far more empty pew in this sanctuary than people? Why didn't God make me look like Tom Selleck? Why didn't God make me rich? I mean, we could have all sorts of things that we think God ought to have done that would make our lives wonderful. No. Like Jonah, God tells us to do something, and so frequently we run away. The good news is God doesn't give up on us. God chases us. God sends storms in our path. And even when we're fleeing away, sometimes God puts us through literal lifetime of heck, through a fish, metaphorically speaking. We come out and we recognize our error and we actually do what God said. Unfortunately, repentance, as with Jonah, is often fleeting, and we can be going against God, turn around, repent, do what God tells us to do, and then the self, the ego, gets in the way, which was the case here with Jonah. And turn around again, re-repent, and go the other direction away from God. Did you catch that with Jonah? He was running away. God sent the storms. God sent the fish. Puked him out. He repents, says, "Yes, sir." Goes to Nineveh, preaches the message. The people repent, and he does a 180 again and goes away. Gets angry, wishes he were dead, sits down outside the city to watch the show. The show doesn't happen. The bush grows up, then the bush gets killed. He gets angry and wishes he were dead, and God says, "Look, look, the whole business, your whole experience is about grace and repentance. The whole Jonah in the fish story is about the grace of God and the repentance of Jonah, and about our receipt of God's grace and our repentance." Jesus said the only sign he would give is the sign of Jonah. 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish as the sign for his resurrection. My friends, we go through in this life spiritual death until God's grace, God's power resurrects us, brings us back to life, enables us to respond in faith. God, we go through this life dead in the belly of a metaphorical fish until God resurrects us and gives us new life. What are we going to do with the new life? Are we going to run away like Jonah did? Guess what? We already did. Are we going to do what God tells us to do as Jonah did the second time? And then once we do it, when things don't go the way we think they ought to go, are we going to run away again and yell at God? It's up to you, friends. It's up to you. Remember my three conclusions? We've covered number one. We've covered number two. And number three, when God calls, do what God says. When God calls. When God calls, do what God says. It's as simple as that. It's not easy. It takes God's grace. But it's as simple as that.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of First United Methodist Church of Siegelville, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 101 South Kaufman Street, Siegelville, Texas, 75159. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.